Ugga can't reproduce. He can't breathe. He's living a bad life. Every time you see Ugga, he's either A, getting pulled around by somebody looking mopey, or B, sitting on an icicle package because he's too fat. If he's not constantly air conditioned, he'll have a heart attack.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
So every bulldog in the world should be exterminated. You on record with that? Let's kill off all the bulldogs.
If you want to make this a widespread crusade, we can make it. Dog breeding has gone too far. Stop buying from breeders. Adopt a pet today. I am pro pet adoption. Get your pets spayed and neutered. I will carry the fight of Bob Barker.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Essentially, if your dog is a little bit heavy set, John Reed is volunteering to kill it for
you. Did you know that bulldogs can't have sex by themselves? Did you know that? So if we don't...
It's a tiring task.
If we don't intervene, they will just cease to exist. Nature will take its course.
Here, buddy.
God doesn't want us to have these bulldogs.
You stand by your bulldog holocaust, and I will stay away from it.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
All I'm saying is it's fat, it can't breathe, it can't reproduce.
Should I be exterminated?
Can you reproduce?
You want to throw me in there?
Can you reproduce?
I'm fat and I can't breathe.
Can you reproduce?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll show you.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Former Ohio State quarterback Tate Martell yesterday received his waiver from the NCAA and was cleared to play in 2019 at Miami. This is a college football headline. Tate Martell, quarterback, cleared for Miami.
Yeah, how does that make you feel about, it seems like the NCAA is just kind of letting these transfers happen and then giving guys instant eligibility, right? If you are a Tennessee fan, that should make you feel good about Aubrey Solomon.
When are we going to hear something on Aubrey Solomon?
I'd imagine they're coming up soon. They work pretty slow with the NCAA. Whenever they're not making terrible propaganda videos about the life of a student athlete. That video?
Yeah, that was horrible.
I love how every college athlete just roasted is like, this is not what this is like at all.
Yeah. They're like, nope, this is inaccurate.
Maybe for an intramural athlete, they said. But not us.
Well, speaking of student athletes and Tennessee football combined with Tennessee basketball, and women's basketball. Did you know that Tennessee ranked number one nationally in total attendance between the three top sports on campus? Football, men's basketball, women's basketball. You combine all the attendance, Tennessee totaled out last year at 1,129,973. That was number one in the country for those three sports combined.
I wish I knew how close this was because we don't see the rest of the numbers, right? In terms of like where number two came in at.
I'd like to see who made the top five.
I mean, Tennessee has the nicest combination of basketball and football stadium, right? Basketball arena, football stadium.
Of anyone?
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, what is Michigan basketball arena sit?
I don't know.
Because they're the only other team, like them and Ohio State.
I mean.
Although, because Michigan's also good at basketball is why I go to them. But, like, I don't know where their women's basketball program is or, where their fan support is for there. Like, obviously our fan base for women's basketball really helps us. But what is their capacity at, Benley?
13,750.
Yeah, so, we think Tennessee, they didn't average a sellout, but, of the 21,000 possible to get in, I would say Tennessee averaged 19,000 at least this year. So, you can gain 8,000 seats on them every time.
Despite football.
Despite football and women's basketball being awful this year.
But the thing is, we still are going to rank high because we still have the fan support for those.
Yeah, no, it is a pretty cool stat. Like, I'd like to see where it ranked if you just remove women's basketball. Just because, like, I don't know how many other schools care about women's basketball. That's not to be disrespectful. Or that's not my intention to be disrespectful. I would just like to see where we ranked with men's sports. Is that disrespectful?
I mean, not really.
I don't think we'd be number one.
If you throw in baseball, I think that lowers our ranking. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If you keep it to just the two major revenue sports, men's basketball and football, yeah, I mean, I think we'd be up there. We'd be top five because we're simply because of the fact that we were good at basketball this year.
Well, I'm looking at last year's – I never thought I would have to Google this. I'm looking at last year's home attendance leaders in women's college basketball in 2017-2018. Tennessee is not number one, and they are not number one by good margin.
Who was number one? Notre Dame?
South Carolina. Like, South Carolina had three South Carolina had 17 home games, which was three more than Connecticut. But South Carolina, I mean, I would imagine their basketball arena holds this number of people because they average 13,239 people per game. Like, were they out here just selling out every game?
I guess. But they don't have a football stadium.
Right.
So that's going to lower
their number. And the men's basketball, you know, and the men's basketball doesn't.
What is that, Colonial Life Arena down there?
Yeah, they hold 18,000 people.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. They're not selling it out, but they are. Their basketball stadium arena holds 18,000 people?
Colonial Life Arena, 18,000 for basketball, 19,000 for concerts.
Really?
That's what it says.
That's a pretty nice. It's a pretty nice arena. 18,000 stout.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Tennessee gets an additional basically 140,000 people through women's basketball. If you look at just the top 10, this number fascinates me. So sorry if I'm going too far into it, but like here's the top 10 in women's basketball attendance. South Carolina, UConn, Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Tennessee. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know Iowa State liked women's basketball like that.
There's not a lot to do up there.
Louisville, Notre Dame, Mississippi State, Purdue, Baylor, Michigan State. So, like, of those top 10 teams, Tennessee, Notre Dame, and Michigan State are the only ones with good football stadiums? Like, I don't know. What does Notre Dame stadium hold for football, Ben?
It's Notre Dame.
I would imagine
stadium,
it's like in the
small.
80, no?
80, 88,000.
Yeah. I was going to say 80, 88.
I'm going to say it's like 88,000.
I'd imagine Michigan State's similar to that.
Notre Dame is 80,795.
Oh, okay. 80,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was the other one you wanted me to look?
Nah, you don't have to look at Michigan State. I don't really care that much. Like Gonzaga, Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, 14th in women's basketball. So, I mean, like, and those are, you know, 5,000 people per game. So, like, there's a pretty big drop-off from the top five down to, you know, the next five.
I'm going to guess Ohio State would have been second on that list.
Maybe. I don't know. Their basketball team wasn't great this year. I mean, obviously, it was a tournament team.
Shouldn't have been, but it was.
Yeah, Michigan's all the way down. Like, you know, we're just looking at, like, biggest basketball, biggest football.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan's all the way down at 40. They get 3,000 people per game for their women's team.
Rick Barnes has been named a finalist for the 2019 Naismith Coach of the Year Award. The Atlanta Tip-Off Club made the announcement today. Barnes is one of only four coaches to make the final cut for National Coach of the Year.
Who are the other guys? Let's see. Would it be?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Do you have the other guys or no?
Well, I was going to click on it, but it says attackers may be trying to steal my credit card information from NaismithTrophy.com.
Well, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't get your identity stolen. I'm trying to think of who would other even be the other nominees. Like,
I guess I can't go to NaismithTrophy.com.
Would it be Roy Naismith Williams? Like, would Roy Williams be on there? Like, I'm not giving Coach K Coach of the Year status because when Zion was out, they were a pretty average team. You would have had Will Wade on there, right? But Will Wade, you know, the whole scandal. Who are the other Coach of the Year candidates?
I've almost got him. Okay,
here Kelvin we go. Sampson?
Like, here we go, yes.
Is Kelvin Sampson on
yes,
there?
Yes, he is. You think you can guess the other two?
I'm surprised they put Kelvin Sampson on there because, you know, the whole cheating scandal he had a couple years back. Roy Williams. Is Roy Williams on there?
No.
That's stupid. I assume Will Wade's not because of the cheating thing, right? Like, surely they didn't do that. All right, so we got Barnes, Kelvin Sampson, Mark Few?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Just tell me.
Tony Bennett from Virginia.
Okay.
And think about the team that kind of came out of nowhere that was good, that you didn't think they'd be quite this good.
Oh, my guy. My Final Four guy? Buzz?
No.
Oh. I don't know.
Kansas did not win the Big 12.
Who did win the Big 12? Was it Kansas State? Bruce Weber?
No.
Just tell me who it is!
3 seed in the tournament.
Texas Tech. Who the hell is Texas Tech's coach?
Chris?
Beard.
I knew you'd get there.
Ben was pointing to his beard, and I was like, I already guessed Buzz Williams. He grew the beard out.
Yeah, so Chris.
Buzz got robbed. Chris. Final Four team.
Chris Beard, Tony Bennett, Kelvin Sampson, Rick Barnes.
When the Hokies make the Final Four, you all are going to quit laughing and you're going to put some respect on Buzz Williams' name.
Nobody named Buzz is making the Final Four.
When Virginia Tech makes the Final Four, you cowards will bow down.
They are absolutely not going to make it.
And name me your leader of college basketball.
So I feel Barnes.
Analysis.
Barnes has it all in front of him right here. I mean, I got to feel like Texas Tech, Houston, and Virginia are all getting bounced like Sweet 16.
Well, do they take that into account?
Yeah.
They do take the tournament into account?
Yeah, because voting goes up until April 5th.
Okay.
Now, the fan vote only counts for a percentage. It may only be like 5% of the vote.
But when is it? Well, but how far does the AP voting go?
I don't know. It won't be announced until early April, though.
Okay.
Who wins? But I mean, Barnes one of the final four guys there. So
cool.
Hey, good for Barnes. Yeah. Florida prosecutors yesterday offered to drop charges against Patriots owner Robert Kraft and others. The proposed deal would call for Kraft to admit that he would have been found guilty at a trial.
Let's talk about that next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Cody, let's talk some NFL. Some Robert Kraft stuff came out yesterday. Exactly what happened. So they are giving him a plea deal. They're letting him cop a plea and avoid jail time and avoid getting in any trouble.
Yeah, big surprise, right? We all thought Robert Kraft was definitely going to prison. Florida prosecutors offered to drop charges against the owner, Robert Kraft, and a number of other men charged with soliciting prostitution, according to a person familiar with the matter. There is a catch. The proposed agreement calls for the men to admit they would have been proven guilty at trial.
This is a – what is this called? Is this the same as a –
It's not a guilty plea.
No, not a plea deal. There's a certain type of plea where you acknowledge that you're guilty, but you just avoid trouble.
Well, this one, they're not even acknowledging that they're guilty.
Okay.
They're acknowledging that they would have been found guilty. Big difference. Like Robert Kraft technically is not even admitting guilt. He's admitting that he would have been found guilty.
An Alford plea is what I was thinking of. There's a thing called the Alford plea where you plead guilty. but you're basically just not in trouble. Something like that. I don't know. It's basically, I believe it's happened in a couple of higher profile cases. But this is not that. He just has to basically get a lesser charge, basically.
I don't think he's going to get any charge.
So what's he having to plea? Sorry, I was looking at the Alford plea.
That he would have been found guilty.
Okay. Gotcha.
I don't know if he's going to have to do anything.
Well, maybe this is this might actually be an Alford plea because, according to Wikipedia, the Alford plea, they say the defendant admits that the evidence presented by the prosecution would be likely to persuade a judge or jury to find the defendant guilty. So maybe this is what he's taking.
Maybe that's what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's convenient, I guess, to not have to actually admit you are guilty. You know, he doesn't have to go up on the stand and say, I am guilty. He just says, yeah, they probably would have found me guilty.
So what's his actual punishment? Anything? Nothing?
Just I don't.
Done for?
From what I can tell, I don't think anything's going to happen to him.
I'd imagine Robert Kraft has some pretty good lawyers, right?
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he comes out with, maybe pays a fine or something, or.
I don't know.
I'm not even seeing that, though.
Yeah, I don't think he has to do anything like that. Well.
Pick up trash, I doubt it.
We never got that other big name. Where was Adam Schefter at on the other big name from the sex thing?
I'm still wondering about that. Maybe the story's not over yet.
Or maybe it is.
Maybe it is. You would think if we were going to hear the big name, it would have came out by now.
Nothing's happened so far.
Unless the big name had the kind of money to just
make it go away.
Go away, yeah. The big name never comes out because nobody would ever want to know Peyton Manning was there.
Well, speaking of Peyton Manning.
With Bob Kraft.
There was an update yesterday.
What's up, Bob?
There's an update yesterday that ESPN is, quote, pressing Peyton Manning on joining Monday Night Football. They sent the big goons to Denver. Network president Jimmy Pitero and executive VP for content Connor Schell flew out to Denver last week to try to get Peyton to come out. They are reportedly Peyton Manning or bust. If Peyton doesn't come back, or not come back, but come out of retirement of playing football to be a in-game analyst, they will basically just roll with Tessitore and Booger.
Really?
Yeah. Which that seems like a disaster waiting to happen, but that's what they're going to roll with if they can't convince Peyton to come out of retirement. They had offered him close to $7 million last year, apparently, and he said no. And one of the reasons he said was that he was hesitant to call games with his brother Eli still playing. So not only is Eli ruining the Giants, but he's ruining the Monday Night Football experience of millions of football watchers. Way to go, Eli. Just said he didn't want to be a critic at this point. Basically, he doesn't want to get stuck calling a Giants game and saying his brother sucks. That's what it sounds like.
Or he's saying he wouldn't be willing to be honest about it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. He would not want to have to watch Eli play football and be like, you know what, Eli kind of sucks now. Maybe he should hang it up. Wow, how did he not see that wide-open receiver there? Wow, how is his footwork this bad? Why is he so scared of getting sacked? But ESPN tried to get him last year, couldn't do it. But, as fate would have it, Jason Witten decides to go back and play football, and now ESPN is allowed to make one more run at Peyton. We'll see if they get him. He says he doesn't know if he's ready to commit to the 52-week grind. He said that he would treat that job like a 24/7, 365-day job. But says he already wants to keep up with football. He already likes studying as if he's still playing. He likes to stay close to the game. Says he still goes to all these places. And, if he's in a town doing a guest appearance and there's a football team nearby, he'll stop and talk to them and pick, he was at the combine picking, the brain of coaches and players and likes to stay involved.
Weird to you that Peyton still lives in Denver? It's weird to me. Peyton doesn't seem like a Denver guy. I mean, Denver's an all right city, I guess. Like, the Rockies are cool, but
I'll admit I was a little surprised too.
But it's weird that Peyton's still in Denver.
How old are his kids?
But do we know he's living there, or is he just meeting him there?
Well, they flew to Denver to meet him there. I don't know if he's living there or not. I would assume he was living there. I would assume they were flying everywhere that – or they were flying anywhere that Peyton was at. They wasn't making Peyton go anywhere.
I wouldn't think so. But maybe he's just got offices in Denver or something.
Potentially.
I don't know. But it does seem weird if he lives there.
Yeah, I wonder.
Maybe he likes the altitude. It's good for his forehead.
I guess where else would he live? Would he live in Memphis, maybe?
Memphis?
That's where his wife's from.
God's she name, would you live in Memphis if you're Peyton Manning?
She owns a piece of the Grizzlies. I would imagine that she has. I'd imagine they have a home in Memphis.
You think?
Yeah.
Memphis?
You don't think so? Like I said, his wife's from there. They're at Grizzlies games every now and then, not when the Grizzlies stink, but.
There ain't no way Peyton Manning's got a place in Memphis.
Probably Mississippi. Might be close to Mississippi. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. For a guy who could live in any city he wanted to, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of weird if he lives in Denver to me. Yeah. Especially because everybody there knows who he is.
Well, everyone's going to know where he is. Everyone's going to know who he is no matter where he's at in America.
Yeah, if I was him, I'd move to like Beijing or something.
Looks like the youngest son is 7.
Even more recognizable.
The youngest son's 7? What about the oldest?
I'm assuming he's like 2 or 3 years older. I can't find like exact age. I just found this article from last year in January.
So it's not
that
like
said his 6-year-old son.
Yeah,
youngest.
That's what I was thinking. So they're
9, 10 years old, maybe.
Yeah, I mean that's not really an age where you don't move to like uproot the kids because I mean he quit playing what 2 years ago now, 3 years ago. They're young enough where you can still uproot and move wherever you want. So that wouldn't be the excuse. Hell, maybe they just like Denver.
Sean tweets in he's got a house in Chattanooga.
Okay.
Why?
I guess he's.
Why would he have a house in Chattanooga?
That is weird. I don't know.
I wonder how many houses he's got. It's weird to me to think about where Peyton Manning lives or where he should live. If you had to put Peyton Manning in a city to live, where would you put him?
Denver.
He seems like I think he'd be in Nashville.
Okay. Nashville would make a little sense. But if you're talking about being somewhere where everyone knows you, like you can't live in the state of Tennessee if that's the case. Maybe Denver people are just a little bit more reserved.
Oh, they're all high.
Fair point.
Maybe Peyton likes his weed.
Fair point. If you are going to move, if you're going to move this year, this spring, this summer, don't do it yourself. Trust my friends at Two Men and a Truck. That's what I did. They moved my stuff for me. They packed it up. They got it over there to the new house. Got it all unloaded for me. I didn't really have to break a sweat, which is good for me. TwoMenAndATruck.com if you are interested in learning more about them. Trust the movers who care. TwoMenAndATruck.com. All right, let's go to break. We'll come back. Kyler Murray was at the Cardinals. We got overrated, underrated topics ready to go at any point? No? Okay, we're still working on those. All right, we'll find somewhere to go next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Distilled in the hills of... Dice's on the beat. Brandon Rogers tweets in that Peyton's house in Chattanooga has to be for golf. Says he's a member at the Honors, which I assume is a nice golf course in Chattanooga. Sounds like a nice golf course, right? Honors? Sounds like a pretty cool place to play.
Dude just owns a house in the gated community so he can play some free golf every once in a while.
I think about free-ish this often. Golf. I mean, I think about this often. What do you do if you have all that money? Like, Peyton's got a lot of money. Like, Mike Trout has a whole lot of money.
Got tied up somewhere.
What do you do? Do you just keep investing and, you know, keep a lot of it, you know, off making you more money? Or do you just, well, I never want to have to stay in a hotel room ever again. Here are the cities I like going to. Let's just buy, you know, a house. Doesn't have to be a great big mansion. Doesn't have to be a $1 million house. Let's just have a nice $500,000 home that we can keep up. 5 or 6 bedrooms, a nice a nice view, although you can't get 5 or 6 bedrooms these days, but 3 or 4 bedrooms, nice view, convenient. Let's never have to stay in a hotel again. Like, if you're rich, what are you going to pay to not have to do? Because staying in a hotel would probably be one for me. I don't like hotels. I'm not a fan of hotels. I don't like the sheets, the towels. I will say the shower. The shower is the best part about the hotel.
The shower?
Yeah. For me, that's the best part of the hotel. Unlimited hot water, man. Most hotels have unlimited water. Unlimited hot water. You just sit in there. You can take as long a shower as you want. You don't feel bad about wasting it. At least I don't.
The shower, to me, is one of the grosser parts. Because the shower is the hardest thing to clean. Yeah, like, I don't think they're getting there and
scrubbing
it. Why is
the shower hard to clean?
I don't think they're getting in there with the scrubbing bubbles after every use.
After every use? No, but they probably they clean it.
Yeah, but showers are grimy. Well, I'm not eating. Showers are disgusting.
I'm not eating in there.
The shower is just about as gross as the toilet.
I'm standing up.
Yeah, but your feet are touching the same spot all those other people's feet have been, and they may have athlete's foot.
So?
They may have feet disease.
Well, what do you think happens in the bed?
Well, the bed, you at least change the sheets out.
Okay, so?
At least you got clean sheets and you can bring your own pillow.
They don't change the comforters out.
Yeah, they do.
They don't. You can't change the comforters out.
Well, it depends on which hotel you're staying at, first of all.
Bring your own pillow. That's what I want to do, is travel with a pillow.
You act like that's uncommon. A lot of people bring their own pillow.
Well, here's what you're making the case for. Hotels stinking, being overrated, being bad. I agree.
I love staying in hotels.
I hate staying in hotels. If I was rich, if I had this type of money, I would make sure I never stay at a hotel again.
Why don't you just stay in really nice hotels?
I've stayed in nice hotels before. I don't like them. Yeah, I don't like the mattresses. I don't like the pillows.
But
I always feel dirty in there.
But a guy like Peyton Manning stays in a really nice hotel.
I would still rather have my home.
I don't think it's worth buying a home in every city you travel to.
Sure.
Just to not sleep in a hotel bed.
Sure.
Plus, Airbnb exists now. You can find some really nice places.
They exist because you don't have to stay in, because people don't want to stay in hotels. Exactly. I would do what people do. Rich people don't stay in hotels for extended periods of time. They rent people's houses.
Yeah.
If I was going somewhere for a couple weeks, I'd be like, hey, let me rent your house. That's what Prince did to Carlos Boozer. Prince was talking about how after a tour he was in L.A. He's like, you know what? I don't want to stay in a hotel. I want somewhere I could feel at home. So he paid Carlos Boozer a bunch of money just to rent his home for months.
And then he partied all in it.
He partied all in it. He painted it purple. He turned a couple of the spare rooms into studios and put stripper poles and really turned it into something crazy. But when he moved out, had it all switched back.
Yeah.
He said, Carlos Boozer said, whenever he got the house back, everything was back the way he had left it.
No problem, then.
No problem.
No damage done.
That's what happens when you're rich. That's what I'm doing. I'm not staying in hotels.
I feel like if you stay in really, really nice hotels. Hotels have perks if you stay in the really nice ones.
Room
service.
The one thing I can't decide if I was really rich or not is would I drive my car? I mean, not like my car. Obviously, I'd upgrade cars.
Right.
I love the Sonata. Shout out to them. They've been nice to me.
You'd at least fix that back bumper.
Yeah, at least fix the back bumper and, make sure the tires all aired up and all that. But, no, I kind of like driving. It seems like that's one of the things rich people get rid of first.
Driving. Yeah. They
get driven around because they always got to do business in the back seat.
It depends on what kind of rich you are, whether or not you're doing business, I think, you know?
Sure. Like, Mike Trout's not going to have to do business.
His only business is baseball.
If I'm Mike Trout, I'm not even wasting my time, being an endorser for anybody. I don't need to come do your stupid commercials. I got $430 million coming my way. I'm good, bro.
I'll do my baseball, and other than that, I'll just work out a bit, and I'll hang out at the beach or whatever.
The punchline about Mike Trout is always, you could walk down the street, and no one would know who he is. That sounds kind of cool to be worth $500 million, and you know what? No one's going to bother you. Peyton Manning and his five head couldn't walk around and be anonymous. He's tall. Mike Trout's 6 foot. He looks like your regular middle, you know, your regular 20-something-year-old white guy. I mean, he's muscular. He's got that going for him. But, hey, a lot of people work out these days. I think it'd be really cool to be worth $500 million and pretty much anonymous.
See, I disagree. I think the fame would be the cool part.
I think the fame is how you end up wasting all your money and how you end up depressed.
A wise man, well, maybe not wise, but a man once said, I'd rather be poor and famous than rich and nobody.
That seems like a really, really dumb quote. Who said that?
That's from some movie. I can't remember. I thought for a second it was Johnny Depp and Blow, but I don't think it was.
That sounds like a really, really dumb quote.
Maybe that was, where did I hear that quote? That's the quote, though. I'd rather be poor and famous than rich and or broke and famous than rich and nobody.
21,
not poor.
21 Savage, in one of his new songs, said, I'd rather be rich and dead.
That's also dumb.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want
to if you're dead, you don't need money.
You're not anything.
Yeah, but still.
That's kind of a dumb. So far, we have Ben getting shaped by 21 Savage. His mind's getting shaped by 21 Savage, and Cody is remembering some random movie that was maybe Johnny Depp and Blow, but he doesn't think it was.
Maybe it was Jordan Belfort. It would make sense if I remembered a Wolf of Wall Street quote.
So wait, Jordan Belfort did not want money? It seemed like he really wanted money.
Yeah, it probably wasn't Jordan Belfort.
I thought that
I don't
guy
know
was
where
about,
the quote.
I thought
know
that guy was all about being rich.
I don't know where it came from. I heard somebody say it one time. And maybe I made it up. Maybe I thought of that quote.
Well, that's a really dumb quote.
It would make sense if I thought of it.
If you coined that phrase, you should cash out.
I'd rather be broke and famous than rich and nobody.
Give me the money. I will take the money.
And nobody knows you?
Yep.
That's probably the better route.
Give me the money.
But being famous gets you other things that isn't necessarily cash, you know?
Cash will get you a lot of those things, though. Like, what do you want? Attention? Yeah. You have enough money, you'll get attention if you want it. You can get, there's a lot of. We just went through that list of sugar babies, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I love that Mike Trout let Bryce Harper struggle for so long to get that largest free agent deal, and then just got $100 million more than him for a year or less,
just to throw it in his face.
If I had that type of money, I'm getting rid of hotels. But strangely enough, I think I'm going to keep driving. I enjoy driving. I'd get me, you know, upgrade cars, obviously. Be rolling around a Rolls Royce. I'd take a Rolls Royce everywhere I went and drive it myself. Water bottle is doing weird things.
There's a ghost in here, I think. Yeah, I get rid of driving, though. I mean, you could take, like, the Uber Blacks if you were really rich. You know, instead of getting the regular Uber, you get the Uber Black. Take the luxury, like the really, really clean one with the leather interior.
Does it surprise you to know that Bill Belichick takes the regular Ubers? He was in Nashville this weekend, and he took just a regular Uber, and the guy who picked him up was in, like, a 2002, like, just Xterra.
That would be really odd. Pick up Bill Belichick in an Uber.
He was talking about he picked up Bill Belichick and said he was just a really down-to-earth, nice guy. But I imagine when Bill Belichick saw that Uber roll up, he was like, damn it, should have called the Black.
You think Bill gets in the front seat?
He was rolling around with his woman. I'd say he sits in the back seat with his woman.
Belichick's a backseat guy for sure.
Are you a backseat or a front seat guy?
Who, me?
Yeah.
If I'm by myself, I'll usually get in the front seat. But it's like, it is kind of weird. Like, I usually kind of go to the back, and they're like, you can come to the front if you want. And I'm like, okay.
Before I started driving, I used to be a front seat guy, and now I'm a back seat guy.
Because you as a driver, you like when people get in the back seat more?
I prefer people to get in the back seat and not talk to me.
That's just because you always get the same questions.
That's what you always prefer, is for people to not talk to you. Unless, like, not everybody. Like, some people are friendly and you can have a nice conversation.
Read that as attractive.
But you always hate the regular standard questions.
Well, that's,
you know what I mean?
I Ubered a lot this weekend, and
you've been busy tonight?
I felt like that internet meme of the kid with the veins popping out of his head.
You've been doing this for a long time?
Yeah, that's it. I was like, don't say it. Don't say it. How long you been Ubering? Yeah. How long you been driving for Uber? Don't say it. Don't say it. Yeah. Been busy tonight?
Exactly.
What time did you clock in? How late you going to stay out?
Been busy tonight. how long have you been driving for Uber, and are you from here, are the three most common.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
You've been busy tonight is number one, without a doubt. I think people just say that now because it's gone around on the internet. It's like being, you know. Really, the back seat is the way to go because you can just get in and not talk to anybody and just get your, you know, take me where I'm going, leave me alone.
I'm a 50-50 guy. A couple of them I got in the front seat, and then I felt awkward when I got in the front seat because they would have something in the front seat, and they'd have to move it for me, or like have their umbrella
in the front
seat.
That's probably why they had it in the front
seat. And then I felt like a real jerk. And then I got in the back seat, and then, you know, a couple times I just got in there and just didn't talk to anybody. It's weird. I don't have a go-to method.
It's normal to get in the back seat and not talk, but if you get in the front seat and don't talk, it's a little awkward. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like if you get in the front seat, you have to have a you have to have a conversation.
You
got to
talk.
Point.
You got to talk. Some people like to talk. Some people don't.
I get in the front seat and tell them where to go. If I were you, I'd take this street instead.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're the worst. Yeah.
No, my Uber rating is 4.97.
Wait till I pick you up.
I am one of the best. I am actually one of the best Uber riders in the entire country.
Are you?
I mean, the stats speak for themselves, right? 4.97 is pretty good, right? Considering the amount of times I've been in there drunk, and I've probably taken 100 Ubers before. Like, there's some track record there.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's not good?
I mean, it's good.
You don't think 4.97 is a good score?
Yes. I'd pick you up.
Why are you downplaying it?
I'd pick you up.
Pick up a lot of 5-stars?
Yeah.
How many rides?
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes they haven't taken a lot of rides.
Right. I mean, I got a long track record on mine.
It's weird though that to be rated as a rider, I'm like a 4.85, and I just wonder like, what did I do?
You got drunk in there, and it was your drunk self.
But I don't think I said it, would say anything drunk like mean or
you're
weird.
You're probably
like,
loud and obnoxious, and you probably had some people with you that were annoying. That's the scariest part is calling an Uber when you have people with you because they don't care about your rating.
Right.
They are putting their feet all over your ratings couch and stomping on it. They don't care. And I'm like, hey, quiet down. We almost had a fist fight. We almost had a fist fight in Vegas when I went for my friend's bachelor party. We had a guy who started crying. And wanted to fight one of the other people in the Uber.
The driver or
no,
two passengers?
The guy who called the Uber.
That's probably why you went from a 5 to a 4.97.
It wasn't mine. No, it wasn't mine.
Oh, well.
I was like, I'm not calling an Uber with these Schmohawks. My rating will go
down in a hurry, yeah.
Down through the floor. But we almost had a fist fight. They stood outside arguing while the rest of us ate for 30 minutes, like trying to patch things up. Because he's like, you're disrespecting the Uber on my account. That's what happened.
Yeah.
It's a serious thing.
It's a real deal. And I don't know. I mean, sometimes you see people, though, that are like 4.4, 4.6.
Yeah.
I don't pick them up. Just, nope. Not doing that one.
My girlfriend, Kendall, she's got a lower rating than she wants. She's been stressed out about it. She's like a 4.6.
Really?
Yeah. I think she's probably just really, really chatty. Even when sober, just chatty.
Does she ask, have you been busy tonight a lot?
She probably talks to him a lot.
Yeah.
She's chatty, Kathy.
Some people, it's good.
And she probably took some really – she said she used to take some really short rides, like in Memphis.
Yeah.
Just like a couple blocks. That probably got her a low rating for wasting their time. Although I think that's the easy money because it's a $5 minimum charge. Like, they'll give me the short $5 runs all day.
Well, the driver doesn't get all of that.
Right.
But you get like $3.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
it's like a mile.
Going like, yeah, going two
Sign
blocks.
Sign me up for it, yeah.
You know? It's really not bad. But, yeah.
That's what Mike Trout did yesterday when he got all that money.
Probably took an Uber.
He's like, never driving again, babe. Sell. I know we got these really fancy cars, but sell them all.
We're taking Uber Black everywhere we go.
We are Uber Blacking it everywhere we go.
The Lyft Luxury.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. back on the program. We'll be out at Elkmont Exchange tomorrow from 1 to 6. And then Friday, we'll be out there pretty much all day for the, you know, the Tennessee tip-off at 2:45, watching the action, seeing, you know, if Tennessee can take down Colgate. Sometimes I feel like I just have mini strokes in my head. We'll be there, see if we can take down Colgate, seeing how many we can win by. I like the matchup Tennessee has, but come eat some lunch, an early dinner, enjoy some alcoholic beverages with us these next 2 days at Elkmont, 745 North Broadway Street. Cody McClure, we've been talking a little NFL, sort of, kind of. I know we didn't much last segment, but we did the segment before. Last segment, we just talked about money. But it seems as if the Arizona Cardinals are still kicking the tires on Kyler Murray. Do you care about that story at all? Do you care at all about the NFL right now? I mean, there was some news yesterday. Clay Matthews leaving the Packers, headed to Los Angeles to join the Rams. Randall Cobb, local kid, leaving the Packers to join the Cowboys. So the Packers lost two of their, not their best players anymore. Cobb's kind of a shell of himself. Clay Matthews, not far behind him in that department. But two of the names that you kind of equate to the Packers, right? When you think of the Packers, you probably think of Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, and Clay Matthews. Those are probably the three names you go to. Both those guys are gone.
I think of Eddie Lacy.
Okay. Big fat Eddie Lacy is gone, but yeah, okay, you think of him.
He's been gone for some time.
Yeah. Are you interested at all in these NFL stories right now? Because, you know, Kyler Murray meeting again with the Cardinals really, you know, keeps pointing to that direction that there's some serious interest there, making them, you know, a candidate to be the, you know, the eighth team ever to draft a quarterback in the top 10 back-to-back years. It hasn't happened since 1983. They seem hell-bent on becoming that eighth team. They seem really interested in Kyler Murray. This could be a ploy to try to drum up some trade interest, although I don't really know what their method would be, because if teams thought they wanted Kyler Murray at one, they're not going to trade you that pick, right? So that you can take him if they want him. Maybe they're trying to see what kind of offers they can get for Josh Rosen. Maybe they're just doing their due diligence. I don't know. I don't see the benefits, really, of Arizona talking to Kyler Murray and letting this keep going and going and going unless there's actual interest there. Do you care at all about this right now, or are you just all college basketball?
Not really. I really don't. At this time, it's just it's all March Madness for me.
Okay. You want to give me some of your picks then? Are you just waiting to give me some more of your picks?
I mean, I want to say yes, but I don't want you to shoot me down.
Just give me some more of your picks. Like, I was kind of fascinated with the Kyler Murray stuff, but it takes two to tango. So you can give me yours. Just give me your picks.
Are people here for picks? Tell me about Kyler Murray.
No, people are here for your NCAA picks. Just give them to me.
They're not here for my picks.
They want your picks. Tell them.
I'm sure they'd like to hear us chatter about it.
Give me your biggest team on upset alert. Top, it needs to be a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed. Who's on upset alert? Cody McClure.
Gonzaga.
In round 1?
No. Round 2 against Syracuse.
Okay. Gonzaga loses to Syracuse. Who's on upset alert in the first round? Because that's what people care about right now. Although I guess maybe they care about the entire bracket. Maybe they care about Gonzaga.
The second round happens pretty quickly
after the first round. Let's try this again.
Same weekend.
All right, Cody McClure, who's on upset alert? I need a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed. Who do you not see making a deep tournament run?
Gonzaga.
Whoa! They're a 1 seed.
They are a 1 seed, John, but the length that Syracuse has in that zone defense has always given teams trouble in the tournament. Jim Boeheim's a fantastic coach, and I think he'll continue to give teams trouble in the tournament. That's a team that, if you'll remember, beat Duke earlier this year.
Yeah.
They were very inconsistent in the ACC, but it's still Syracuse. It's tournament time. It's Jim Boeheim. You know what happens when Syracuse makes the tournament as a low seed?
What happens when Syracuse makes the tournament?
Well, sometimes they'll make a run. And Gonzaga.
Sometimes.
Gonzaga is going to struggle against that zone. Gonzaga, I think, is overrated. Gonzaga has gone all year without playing anybody. The two, they beat Duke at full strength. But besides that, back in what, December? November, maybe. It was November. Besides beating Duke, the two best teams they've played, they lost to Tennessee and North Carolina. Since then, they've played nobody. Syracuse is going to be their most formidable challenge that they've had. They lost to St. Mary's in their conference tournament. I don't like Gonzaga. I like Syracuse.
Wow. Gonzaga going down in round two.
Yeah.
You heard it here from Cody McClure.
Pretty wild, isn't it?
I mean, that was good analysis.
That's what I'm here for, good analysis.
All right.
Yeah. What's one of your upset picks?
I don't have any yet. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.